Awesome. As you can see, I'm pretty noob at this. But anyway, before we start, can I get a raise of hands for anyone who's actually failed something before? Failed an exam. An exam? Well, okay. You people down the back, you guys are really smart. What subject did you guys fail in? Nice. Okay. In high school, in year 11, I failed maths. I know I'm Asian, but I still failed maths. I'm sorry. I think I got 49%. So I actually begged the teacher to get that extra mark, which is kind of bad, but yeah. I also failed chemistry that year, and I kind of just didn't continue. I just dropped it completely because I was like, I can't do this anymore. So I'm actually not very Asian, yeah. So I failed maths and chemistry as well. But yeah, there are probably other areas of your life where you've, I don't know, failed in things as well. Perhaps you failed, I don't know, maybe in your relationships with your family and your friends. When someone close to you is angry with you because you did something wrong, you probably do want them to forgive you in those kinds of situations, right? And when things go wrong in life and it seems that everything around you is just collapsing and causing you trouble and stress, probably all you want is a fresh start, right? You see, when things go wrong, often all we want is to be able to start all over again. Many thousands of years ago, the world was a place that was really horrible, and it was so horrible that the God of this world wanted to destroy everyone living in it. From the story of Noah, we see that God was angry at the people of the world because of their wickedness. And since humans first sinned against God, at the very beginning, people became more and more corrupt. God's anger rose up against them, and he decided that he would wipe out all humans from the earth. But not completely. In last week's talk, Paul spoke to us about Noah and his family, who were the only ones who were saved from the huge flood. Although the whole world turned against God, Noah had faith in God, and he stayed true to him. And God, not wanting to destroy mankind completely, chose this man and his family to continue the human race. So now we come to this week's passage in Genesis chapter 8. In Noah's story, we see how God is a God that judges those who are wicked and evil. But today we see in Genesis 8 that God is also a God of grace, a God that gives a fresh start no matter what our situation. Hope you followed before when Rachel was reading. We're just going to talk about this passage now. So on your outlines, I think it should say, so there should be 4 points. The first one is Noah's patience and God's faithfulness. So after spending several hundred days in the ark, I think Noah and his family and all the animals in the ark were getting pretty restless. I'd imagine that they were pretty smelly and disgusting as well. I don't think there were any showers or toilets or anything on that ark. Well, not that I know of. I don't even know, if they had those kinds of facilities in the ark. And think about how many animals were in that at that time as well. That would have been a pretty horrible mess, I think. So after the rain stopped, Noah sent out a raven and a dove to check if it was okay to go outside yet. The raven, once he was sent out, never came back. I think he must have been really sick of being in the ark, so I think he just kind of wanted to leave, kind of just quitted. I guess I kind of understand, how the raven was feeling. But anyway, so Noah decides to send out the dove next. So he sends out the dove the first time to check if the waters had gone down yet, but no luck. The dove comes back to him with no signs of change. Then he sends him out a second time, and the dove brings him back a leaf. And then the third time, he sends him out, but the dove doesn't come back. And I guess, like the raven, I understand that the dove wouldn't have wanted to come back. And now that there was hope, since he brought back the leaf last time, there was hope actually that the world could be inhabited again. He was probably thinking, Noah, I can't actually talk to you. So the leaf was actually a sign that we can actually go outside now. So kind of, do you get the point? So he wanted Noah and all the animals, I guess, and everyone else to be able to leave the ark at that time. And the leaf was proof that they could go outside again. I think probably the dove and all the animals were probably really ready to go outside and start breeding again. Anyway, so Noah chose, though, to wait for God. He chose to wait an extra week after the dove actually brought back the leaf. So just as God gave the command to build the ark and also to enter the ark, Noah was also waiting for God to tell him to leave the ark. Even though he was probably quite restless after spending so long in the ark, he decided that he would wait. Then finally, God told him to come out of the ark and to go out there and to breed and to multiply. So look in verse 17. Where is it? 17. It says, "Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it." See, God is telling him now, you've spent long enough cooped up in that ark, and I know you're itching to go out there and to breed and to take over this world. So please go ahead. Can you imagine what it would have been like to come out of the ark at that time? It would have been really, I think, pretty awesome, I think. So they spent, I think, a couple of hundred days cooped up in that ark. I think they were really itching to go out there and to really, start with their breeding season, I guess. So this command to be fruitful and increase in number is the second time the command is given in the Bible. The first time was in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. The whole world was theirs for them to take now. They were going to start fresh, like it was from the very beginning. So this, I guess, would have been a really huge blessing for them all. But they also had to wait for it. They waited a really, really long time, and I think they really had to be very patient for that. I know that often when I am waiting for something, often even when I pray and I don't really wait for God to give an answer. I get really impatient. I want Him to quickly answer my prayers, and I fail to be patient with Him. Sometimes I can't even wait a few days, and these guys had to wait hundreds of days. And I think the raven in this story is very similar to that. Once he had the opportunity, he just left, and he didn't even wait for God at all. And I think, like the raven, often we want God to answer us straight away, and we don't wait for Him. But if Noah hadn't waited for God, he probably would have stepped out into a huge pool of water. And he would not have been able to live on the earth yet. So he trusted that God has good timing, and so he waited and he waited. He knew that the God who saved him from the flood would also keep him safe. He was patient with God's timing because he knew that God is faithful. So last year I went over to Japan for a year, and one of the first things that I thought about when I got there was, I wonder what kind of place I'll be living in. I wonder if it was the same for any of you when you first came to Australia. Was it one of the first things that you thought of? So I don't know about you, but my own safety is often naturally the first thing that I think of. I mean, if I got to Japan and then suddenly realized that I had nowhere to live, I would feel quite unsafe. But Noah didn't actually think that way. Once he left the ark, the first thing that he thought was not, where am I going to live? Probably the first thing that Noah did, well, the first thing that is actually written about here, is the first thing he did was to build an altar to the Lord, and he sacrificed animals for Him. You would think that he would want to start building a house or something, or to take care of himself and his own family, but he didn't. He acknowledged that because of God, he was saved. He acknowledged that God could have destroyed him, but God was gracious enough to spare him. The sacrifice that Noah offered to God was a show of how he depended on God for his life. You see, this is how Noah showed his faith in God. Instead of putting his own life first, he put God first. God accepted Noah's sacrifice because it came from his heart. And because of this sacrifice, God decided that he would never again flood the whole earth like he did then. In verse 21, God says, In verse 21, God says, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood." He's saying that even though we are all evil, he will look at our sacrifices if they come from our hearts. None of us can actually be perfect, and Noah wasn't perfect either. But because Noah put God before himself, God chose to overlook his sinfulness. God's heart was moved by Noah's sacrifice, and in the same way, our sacrifices move the heart of God. Everything we do can be an act of sacrifice. When we sacrifice our time and our money and our own pleasure and our own happiness for the sake of God, all of these things are seen by God to be pleasant sacrifices. Just as verse 21 tells us, our hearts are all inclined to evil. We are all selfish, and we often just seek to live our own lives for ourselves. But Noah is a great example for us to follow. Being selfless and putting God first is something that just isn't natural for us, but it's something that God highly values. Notice also in verses 21 and 22 that God does treasure his creation too, and he gave all of it a second chance. He cares for his creation, and he did not want it to be destroyed completely. After the flood, God says, "And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." So this means that God is still caring for his creation. Some people think that God doesn't exist because the world at the moment is full of problems and it's a mess. Some people think that God does exist, but if he does, he doesn't actually care for his creation at all. But as Christians, we believe that God still cares for his creation, and he is the one that is sustaining it. But I want you to notice also that at the beginning of verse 22, it says, "as long as the earth endures." This indicates that the world will not last forever. A time will come when this earth will come to an end. The question is, what will happen to everyone when this world does end? Will God save us like he saved Noah? So just like Noah had a second chance, God also gives us a second chance. God is patient with us, not wanting us to die and be separated from him, but for us to turn to him. And he gives all of us a second chance. The very fact that we are still living now is an act of grace by God. When we hear about great floods, fires, tornadoes, hurricanes, cyclones, tsunamis, and earthquakes, many people ask, why must so many people suffer? Why doesn't God do something about this? But let me give you a new perspective on that. The God who created this world could have destroyed it a very, very long time ago, but he loves his creation, and so he did not destroy us completely. He kept the human race alive because he wanted to show that he still cares for us. And we should have been in that flood that time. We should definitely be asking God why, but the real question we should be asking is, why are you still so patient with us, God? I know that for myself, I have constantly rejected God, and I've lived my own way. My thoughts and my actions deserve to be punished, but God has given me a second chance because he loves me. Even though I lived a life that turned against him, he chose to show me his grace and his mercy. And he loves all of us, and that is why he's given us a way to escape from his anger. And the only way we can escape his anger is through his son, Jesus Christ. God has been so patient with us that he sent his own son to take that punishment for us, the punishment that we deserved. It's like God sent another flood on the earth to wipe away all the wickedness in the world, but told his son to take all of that punishment for himself. So instead of destroying us, he destroyed his own son so that we could be saved. So anyone who believes in his son will be saved. But our time is limited. The day will come when he will come back to judge us all, but he is taking his time because he is waiting for more people to turn to Jesus and be saved. These are the words of the Apostle Peter. I don't know. Oh no, it's not included. Anyway, if you have a Bible, I'll just read this out to you. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 15, it says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation." So the day will come when our second chance will be gone, and we just don't know when that day will come. We don't even know if we will be living tomorrow or even the next minute or the next hour. Do you think that the people in the flood knew that it was coming? If they knew, then they would have prepared for it. They were all living their lives happily, and then the flood came and washed them all away. The day will definitely come for us too, and we just don't know when that will be. But when that day comes, will we be found faithful, just as God found Noah faithful? Will we be saved from God's anger in the end? We have all been given a second chance, and we are already borrowing time from God right this minute. The lives we are living are already a show of God's grace. So will we accept his offer of salvation before that time comes? Or will we be destroyed along with all of the evil on that day of destruction? If we do not accept his offer like Noah did, we will be destroyed along with the rest of the world. John chapter 3 verse 36 says that we have two choices. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. We can look at the passage this way. Those who believe in Jesus will be brought into the ark and saved from the flood. But those who reject Jesus will face the flood because God is still angry with them. The choice is really yours. Do you want to take his offer and live a life of sacrifice? Or do you want to live like the rest of the world and be destroyed in the day of the flood? Because we care for you guys, we don't want you to make the wrong decision. We don't want you to perish like the people in the flood did. We want you to join us in giving up our lives as lives of sacrifice for the one who gave his own life to take on the flood of God's anger. And for those of us who have already made the decision to follow Christ, does your sacrifice come from the heart? Are you living in a way that shows that you are thankful for your salvation? The life of sacrifice is not easy. It may mean that you have to wait hundreds of days or even years for your prayers to be answered. But if we are patient, if we remain patient until the very end, we can be sure that he will answer us. Join me as we pray. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much for your patience in bringing us salvation, Lord God. We thank you that you have given us breath and life. And we thank you that you have brought us here, Lord God. And we thank you that we are still living, Lord, that you are patient with us even though we have been wicked. And we pray, Lord God, that you will help us to have open hearts to your salvation, Lord. Help us to be open to what you have to speak to us. And help us, Lord, to know how we can live lives of sacrifice for your sake. Just as you gave your son to sacrifice his life so that we can be saved, we pray that we may learn to give up our lives for your sake. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.